Public testimony pushes against politicizing water protection decisions. And Haines girls are encouraged to be seen and heard at an upcoming rock camp. It's the KHNS Local News. I'm Jillian Rogers. Those stories and more up next. Should the decision to grant a body of water the highest level of protection be up to the state legislature? Bills working their way through committees in the House and Senate would give lawmakers that power. But in public testimony this week, Alaskans spoke against politicizing decisions on outstanding national resource water nominations. KHNS's Emily Files has more.
The Federal Clean Water Act requires states have a process to evaluate outstanding resource or Tier 3 nominations. Tier 3 waters are protected from new pollutants unless those pollutants are temporary and limited.
We ask not for us, but for the ones to come, our grandchildren and their grandchildren.
Yakutat Tlingit Tribal Council member Raymond Sensmeyer testified to the Senate Resources Committee Monday. The council recently nominated the Yakutat Forelands for Tier 3 status. The other pending Alaska nominations are for the Chilkat River, the Kokthule River, and the Bristol Bay watershed. Those nominations are stuck in limbo until the state decides who should evaluate them. Governor Bill Walker introduced Senate Bill 163 and its companion House Bill 283 to give the legislature the power to decide on Tier 3 nominations. Department of Environmental Conservation Commissioner Larry Hardig told the House Fisheries Committee on Tuesday about the possible impacts of the water protection.
Since you can't put any additional pollution in there from a source that we regulate under the Clean Water Act, You couldn't have, for instance, a fish processing plant that would have fish waste. You couldn't have a public wastewater treatment plant that would have treated wastewater that would go in there. You certainly couldn't have a mine that had treated wastewater.
Hardig says because of the potentially wide-ranging impacts of Tier 3 status, the decisions should be up to the legislature. But most of the people who testified to Senate Resources on Monday and House Fisheries on Tuesday did not agree.
The primary problem that we see with having the legislature call the final shot on Tier 3 designations is that it creates a white-hot political debate instead of a stakeholder discussion.
Louis Flora from the Alaska Center for the Environment and Alaska Conservation Voters said Tier 3 decisions should go to DEC to be made based on science and public input. Deborah Schnabel from the Haines Chamber of Commerce advocated for the same thing on behalf of the chamber's membership.
Because the citizenry is very aware that votes on issues affecting local economies can easily be traded among legislators with different constituent loyalties.
But some of the lawmakers argued with that logic, saying they're able to make nonpartisan decisions. Soldotna Republican Senator Pete Michicki said the DEC commissioner also has the potential to base decisions on politics.
You really have the potential for dramatic swings in the administration. You have no idea who the next governor is going to be. It may be this one, maybe another one. It might just be some right-wing guy that decides that it's not going to happen under his watch.
Bethel Republican Representative Bob Herron also said leaving the decisions to the legislature could make the process less political than if they went to DEC.
Sometime in the future, we might get an unfriendly DEC group. And don't you think we need a backstop where the people's representatives will make the final call, either up or down?
The only public testifier who was okay with giving legislators decision-making power was Deantha Crockett from the Alaska Miners Association. But Crockett said her group would prefer Alaska be exempt from the provision in the Clean Water Act mandating a process for Tier 3 nominations.
Designation of an ONRW and subsequent Tier 3 water protection would without doubt be a barrier to resource development, economic development, and some crucial municipal projects.
The Senate Resources Committee took more public testimony Wednesday afternoon. The House Fisheries Committee will revisit the Tier 3 nomination bill at a future date to be determined. In Haines, I'm Emily Files.
Haines is one of four Alaska towns hosting all-girls rock and roll music camps this year. Young women will learn how to shred the guitar, bang on the drums, and belt out original jams at Girls Rock Camp Alaska. Center stage at the Southeast Alaska State Fair will serve as the finale for the rockers. You don't need to be a rock goddess to sign up for the music camp in July, but you do need a little hustle. Camp director Monica Lettner says more than half of the 20 spots in Haines are gone.
Haines is more full than every other town right now. I'm so proud of you guys.
The Girls Rock Camp Alliance spans the globe with camps in Canada, Europe, and around the U.S., and has for a decade. Girls Rock Camp Alaska is its own nonprofit, but still gets support from the larger organization. The camps in the last frontier started in 2014, and until this year have only been held in Anchorage. With the wild success of the big city workshops, Lettner decided to expand. This summer, they're branching out to Fairbanks, Sitka, and Haines. The camp in Haines is a week long and starts July 25th. The camp is open to young women aged 8 to 18.
So there's no prior music experience required, and that is one thing that makes us different than a lot of other music camps in the world.
Campers get to choose which instrument they play after trying out a few different ones. Or if they have experience with, say, the bass, they can choose to play that for the week. The rockers are divided up into groups to form bands. They have plenty of practice time and daily workshops on songwriting.
And so you have a wide spectrum. And sometimes we put a band together that has somebody who's been playing for a few years along with somebody who's totally new, and they get along just fine because they each learn their part on their instrument, and it's only a 3-minute song.
At the end of the 5 days, the bands will perform at the Southeast Alaska State Fair. Lettner says with the different backgrounds and musical tastes of participants, the original songs are quite eclectic and never disappoint the crowd. Nothing is off limits, she says. Lettner adds that she's hoping to expand even more with winter or spring break camps. She says she can cart the instruments anywhere in the state, but it all depends on her schedule. In Haines, she'll have help from a few music instructors from the lower 48 and elsewhere in Alaska. Always drawn to the power of music, Lettner says she's been playing and singing since she was a kid. She plays several instruments, piano, guitar, saxophone, and has a graduate degree in music education.
And I accidentally found Girls Rock Camp in Seattle when I was visiting a friend of mine from Talkeetna who lives down there. And that was in 2012. And so I volunteered for them in 2012 and 2013. And then we started ours in 2014.
The opportunity for young women to learn new musical and social skills empowers them to take center stage, not just in a band, but in life.
If you have to get up on stage in front of everybody and perform and be on, you have to learn how to step out of your shell, have to learn how to push through fear, and that's really important. And when you learn how to do that, you can do anything. The whole world opens up.
That's Haines' Amanda Randles, who helped draw the camp here. She's worked with young adults in performing arts for years and said when it comes to music and theater, Haines has a ton of potential.
I want to see it get bigger. I want to see it grow. I want to see all sorts of crazy stuff happening in the streets all the time around here.
Randall says the rock camp is looking for volunteers, musical or not. They also need to raise a little dough to host the camp, with more details on that to come. Above all, Randall says she wants young women to experience stardom, if only in their hometowns.
There is no reason for the rock music industry, popular music industry, whatever, to be so male-dominated, because women and girls are just as capable and just as talented and just as skilled.
If you're interested in helping out, contact Randall's at her office at 766-2476. Go to girlsrockcampalaska.org for more information or to register. Skagway Borough Assembly has a full agenda for its Thursday evening meeting. There's a public hearing on a resolution to amend the municipality's personnel policy to provide for paid family leave benefits. The policy would give borough employees up to 30 working days of paid leave. The assembly will also discuss clarifying the Port Commission's role in code. Another code change the assembly is set to review has to do with excused absences for assembly members. The Assembly will also take another look at contracts related to the construction of the new public safety facility, and they'll review a distillery liquor license applications from Haines residents Dan and Christine Turner. A few months ago, the Assembly did not object to a seasonal distillery license application from Skagway resident Gary Hager. The meeting happens Thursday at 7 p.m. in Skagway Assembly Chambers. For KHNS News, I'm Jillian Rogers. Thanks for joining us this evening. You can always listen to and read local news stories on our website at khns.org.